Psalm 46, verse 1, please. Glory to Jesus. You're a beautiful people. Boy, just a wonderful, wonderful spirit of the Lord here. It's wonderful to come home and find such fire burning in this church. Psalm 46, if I can find it. Here it is. I'm going to read about five verses. And my text is in verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, very present help in trouble. And very there can also be interpreted ever present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Salah. There's a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, she shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raids of the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. Now here it is again, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. And look at verse 9. He makes wars to cease. That war that's in you, that war that's in our inner man, he causes it to cease. Oh God, my Father, my precious Lord and Savior, how good you are. Help us, Lord, to be reminded by your Holy Spirit that you are right at our right hand at all times. You're there. You're there now. And Lord, though we've been preaching around the world, there are needs here this morning, incredible needs, and those who need a word from heaven. So speak to us. Speak to me and speak through me. And Lord, help me in my time of need as I minister this, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Boy, this is one of the greatest promises in the Bible. Of all the promises he's made, this is the sacrifice. There's a sacrifice of praise, but this, he says, God is our refuge and strength, very present help in time of trouble. Now, folks, we read that and reread it. I have read that so many times, I can't tell you how many times I have read that and just passed over it. And I can't make it theology. It has to be a revelation that comes to us, that God is a very present help in time of need. That means he's here, he's available anytime, night or day, he's at our right hand, willing to speak to us, to guide us. And if we really believe this scripture, if we believed it with all of our heart, we would not be down in the pits of despair. There would be no doubt. There would be no unbelief because we believe us. This is one simple promise that he's made to us that could change our lives. This has sustained me in the last 45 days. The Lord gave to me. In fact, I keep a little piece of paper in my pocket with the 34th Psalm on it, and also this verse, and I read it every day. I rely on that promise. I remind myself of it, and this has been a source of driving out of my life fear of man, fear of flying. I used to be afraid to fly, remember? I've been flying thousands of miles and in turbulence. But you see, I know now I have an angel on the plane. There's a very present help right here. He's right here. You see, we have the idea the Holy Ghost abides in us. We read that scripture. We quote it, Christ in me and I in Christ. And we don't know what that means, most of us. We really don't live by that. If we did, we wouldn't be in such pits of despair so often and forgetting all the things that God has done for us in the past. And if we truly, honestly believe that he was there, we wouldn't have this concept that the Holy Ghost, we know, and you've said this, if you're a teacher, you've taught it, you know that this body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, that the Holy Spirit abides here. That's what the scripture says, that he lives here. But some of us, even though we know he's not out there in the universe somewhere, though he is, he's ever present everywhere, he has taken up his residence. This body is a habitation of the Holy Ghost. He lives here. But we have the idea he has a little chapel somewhere inside. He's built a chapel inside our heart. And here's our concept. We know he's there. Yes, the Holy Ghost is in me. But he locks himself up there talking to the Father. And he's there available in time of need, a desperate situation. You go knock on his door and say, Holy Ghost, I need help. That's not what the Bible says. That's not what the Bible says at all. Now, I'm bringing you the most simple message probably I've ever preached, but it's life-giving to me, and I hope it's life-giving to you. First of all, let me talk, before I talk about ever-present help, let me talk about the ever-present evil. Paul said, when I would do good, evil's present with me. You know that scripture said we fight not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers of darkness, rulers of darkness. And these principalities and rulers and princes of darkness, the devil can't be everywhere at once. He is not omnipresent. If somebody says the devil is here today, the rest of the world can relax. He has principalities, he has powers, he has rulers, and he is ever present to harass the believer. We say the devil's after me. The devil is harassing me. Very seldom. I don't think most of us are that important in his kingdom or a threat to his kingdom. Though I would like to be known in hell. I'd like to be feared in hell. But there are principalities and powers of darkness that do his bidding. And when you set your heart, when you really set your heart to be a seeker after God, I see this in my travels when men step out of the crowd and say, I can't live the status quo anymore. I can't live like I am because I'm so empty. And I hear this confession everywhere I go from pastors, even of large churches. I'm tired of just doing things and I don't have a relationship. I don't have intimacy with God. And you see, the Holy Spirit, if he abides in me, then he resists this ever-present evil. Paul the Apostle knew what the present evil was, ever-present evil, because he had a messenger of Satan sent to buffet him. And every day he faced that harassment because of the revelation that God gave to him. And the more you walk in revelation, the more you can expect to be the target of all of the principalities and powers of darkness. They will persecute you. They will harass you. You go to prayer, they will interrupt you. I've called that this conspiracy of interruptions. And he cannot invade that inner sanctum. He cannot invade that place where you and God alone are shut in because God said he builds a wall around you. There's a wall of fire he can't penetrate. And it's in that time that he ministers to us and speaks in such special ways. But there is an ever-present evil. Now, you have to recognize who your enemy is. It's not always whatever your test may be that you're going through now. It's not just a flaw in your flesh. It's not the flesh. You've got to recognize who your enemy is. We are fighting a battle. The Bible says we are wrestling against principalities and powers of darkness and rulers of iniquity. And they are going to come against you when you truly set your heart to seek the Lord. This ever-present evil. Paul was speaking. He said, be sober, be diligent, or rather, Peter, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom may be devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith. He also said to Peter, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you, that he sift you as wheat. Now, you see, the devil doesn't bother his own children. He already has them. In fact, Jesus said, you're of your father, the devil. The lust of your father you will do. In other words, they do it because of their nature, because they are being directed by the enemy. Now, it amazes me that we can believe that the devil can impulse his children, that he can lead them, he can guide them. And really, those that are living in the world, those who are bound by sin, he said, you're children of your father. The father is Satan.